speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They'll watch a rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to podcast number 34 from watchwithmothers.net. My name's Swineshead. Hello. And I'm here with Napoleon. Hello, Napoleon.
Hello.
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 How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you very much indeed. I've been up for quite a long time, and I've done some woman's chores today. All the ladies out there will be happy to know this.
What do you consider to be a woman's chore?
Cleaning. I've done a fair amount of that. I unloaded the dishwasher. I stuck things in the dishwasher. The missus is ill, so it was left to Muggins here to do it all.
So usually she does all that stuff, does she?
I tend to delegate more than anything else.
But with only one other party in the house, that clearly means that she's being delegated too.
I don't want to get into this.
Well, you started it.
Well, well, let's just leave it at that. You know, take it as read. What about yourself? What have you been up to?
I've been working too hard for too little pay. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah, you've been working for the man, are you?
No, I'm working for myself, which is, it turns out, even worse.
Yeah, working for yourself is rubbish.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a big fan, but, well, it's too late to go back now. Nobody will give me a job.
Do you reckon you're completely unemployable?
I am unemployable, yeah. I mean, if I was to fill out a CV, it would read, what have you been doing for the last, 15 years? Drawing cartoons. To which they would put a note underneath saying, useless, not even good enough to work in a factory.
Well, I used to work helping people, advising them on what to put in their CVs for my
students. Did you?
So let's try and fill out the various sections. First off, you've got your objective.
My objective is to earn large quantities of money by doing no work.
Right. Qualifications?
I've got 4 GCSEs. I think I've got an HND.
What's a GCSE? What are your GCSEs in?
GCSEs are in English literature, English language, French and art.
So history, no, is that...
I failed history.
Okay. And HND, what's an HND?
Well, apparently I got it for completing a year of a degree.
And you get
one of those non-qualifications, you know, like NVQs or diplomas.
Yeah, I know the sort of thing.
Yeah, you know the sort of thing you mean. You know, you go to a workshop every week, and after 6 weeks, knocking a nail into a piece of wood, they give you a diploma.
That's not strictly true, is it? They're vocational qualifications, aren't
they? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean.
So work history is just drawing pictures, basically.
Well, no. I mean, I have done many and varied jobs over the years. I briefly worked in an abattoir. That was hideous. Hmm. I worked in a sausage roll, sausage factory place. That was awful.
Geo Adams in Ruskington?
Indeed. Yes, that's the very place.
Yeah.
I worked as a security guard in a toy shop.
That must have been nice.
Essentially all I did was lean up against a wall watching people shoplifting.
Right, okay. So
okay.
Didn't really read the job description on that one.
No, I couldn't be bothered. It was before minimum wage, mate. This was, I think I was earning about £1.30 an hour.
For security guard, I thought they were second only to coppers.
No, I'm afraid not. No, I was earning £1.30 an hour, and for that they expected loyalty, and for that they expected me to apprehend shoplifters. I'm afraid not. Not for that money, thanks very much.
What about recent work history?
The last proper job I had, I worked in a sex shop.
Okay, moving on.
Selling blueies.
Hobbies and interests.
Hobbies, I haven't got any.
Interests?
I haven't got any. Oh, I like dirty films.
Well, that's good, because that ties in with your last job, I suppose.
No, I had to lie about that and say I didn't like dirty films.
Right.
Well, you see, their principle is, if you go to, if anybody's thinking of getting a job in a mucky shop, whatever you do, don't let on that you like dirty movies, yeah? Because if you do, they think, all right, I see what he's going to be doing here. He's going to come here, he's going to spend his entire shift wanking, and then he's going to steal all the merchandise.
Well, merchandise, what, like deluxe vaginas?
No, like DVDs.
I suppose. But every man likes dirty films.
Not every man. Not Vickers.
Yes, they do. They like it
Vickers.
More than
Vickers.
They do, though, don't they?
Well, do you remember that vicar we had to have a word with after an unfortunate incident in our childhood?
Yes, don't speak about the unfortunate
incident. I'm not saying the origin. It's nothing to do with us. It's not like me and you did anything bad. Well, we were party to somebody doing something bad. Let's leave it at that. But could you imagine that vicar looking at mucky films?
Well, I'll tell you for a fact that one of his family once sold me some pornographic merchandise.
Well, I take it all back. I'm very sorry.
We really shouldn't linger on this.
Shall we have a sing song?
What have you got in mind?
I'm thinking, seeing as I think we've established between the pair of us in various emails that I'm Paul Simon and you're Art Garfunkel. Is that right? That's right. I think we agreed on that, didn't we?
Paul Simon, I'd rather not be either of them, because Paul Simon's a kind of short, round-headed weirdo.
He's a runt.
Yeah, and Art Garfunkel is a gangly...
clown-like.
Microphone-headed weirdo.
Right, so therefore, except for the difference in height, I'm Paul Simon and you're Art Garfunkel, because you look like a clown and I look slightly weird.
Well, I'll go with that.
Right, okay. So you're Art Garfunkel, I'm Paul Simon, and we're going to give the listeners a burst of Cecilia, one of their big hits. Do you remember that song, Art Garfunkel?
The one by Suggs?
No, not the one by Suggs, the one by Art Garfunkel and Paul Simon.
Right, okay. I only know the one by Suggs.
Well, anyway, it's the same one as by Suggs, except this is the original. We're doing the original because we're Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah? Right. Can you sing like Simon and Garfunkel?
He's very high-pitched, isn't he?
Yeah, he's high-pitched and Paul Simon's, he's sort of high-pitched. But let's just get on with it, all right? You ready?
Yeah, give me a count in.
All right, one, two, three, four.
Cecilia,
you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Cecilia, I'm down on my... That's not working, is it?
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chatters. It's Watch with Mothers. It's Watch with Mothers.
So, did you see Rockin' Chips in the week?
No.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No, I didn't watch it. I've got it on record, but I reckon I can just about guess what it was like.
It was all right. It was better than I expected. It was slightly ponderous, which kind of brought it a sheen of respectability.
As good as First of the Summer Wine?
Well, I can't remember that very well. It was certainly better than the EastEnders prequel they did.
They've done a couple of those, haven't they? They did one with Fat Pat and Mo, who it turned out had been best friends in the 60s. Did you see that one?
I don't recall that. The one I saw was Doc Cotton and Ethel.
Ah, no, they did that one as well, and they did one, they did one with Fat Pat and Little Mo, and Pat was a big blonde, you know, big, busty, Diana Dawes type, and Mo was her sort of plain little friend, and it went into detail as to why Pat and Mo hated one another.
Oh, I don't remember that, but what, Big Mo?
Big Mo, the friends of Fat Elvis.
Gary Oldman's sister.
Gary Oldman's sister, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll have to dig that out if it's probably been thrown in the dustbin of time, I imagine.
It was quite interesting, and it sort of, like I say, it went into the... Because I think Pat had nicked Moe's husband off of Charlie's wife's mother, whatever, father, whatever. But anyway, yeah, it was interesting. And I think it might have had Sam Kelly in it, if I remember rightly.
We're getting bogged down in EastEnders again, which frequently happens. What we should be doing is talking Rock and Chips, which, yeah, it was unexpectedly good. Sadly, the bits with Del Boy failed to shine, mainly because...
He wasn't played by David Jason?
Well, the actor who played him was pretty good, actually. It's from The Inbetweeners.
No, I don't watch that.
It's all right. You might like it.
No, I tried watching it. I thought it was shit.
Yeah, it looks a bit shoddily made, but the jokes are quite good. But, weirdly, the best thing about Rock and Chips was Nicholas Lyndhurst. Can you believe that?
I can, because he's quite a good actor, as Nicholas Lyndhurst, when he's given the right script.
Well, yeah, he was quite believable as a gangster, which, again, is unbelievable. But, it was all right. There were some good lines, some classic John Sullivan lines, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, I look forward to watching it. And obviously that brings us on to the topic of conversation today, doesn't it? Which is, of course...
The classic... Fools and Horses.
But Only Fools and Horses! Hey! Everybody loves Only Fools and Horses.
Do you reckon everybody loves it?
Everybody, yes. I mean, just to quote you a statistic here, my friend, the 1996 episode Time on Their Hands, where they found the watch, you know, that one.
Yeah, that was good... That was just before it started going absolutely unwatchable.
Well, there was only two episodes after that, and then they took a five-year break, so you're wrong.
Well, those two and the one after were...
The three after.
Were unwatchable.
They weren't unwatchable, so... in fact, no, that was the last episode, Time on Their Hands. So, in fact, there was only three episodes after that. And you're right, those were pretty unwatchable because those were the new ones and didn't have Buster Merrifield in them.
So did you say I was right?
On that one point, yeah. But on the other things, if you'll give me... I'll just spin back... Yeah, Time on Their Hands got 24.3 million viewers when it was broadcast in 1996. So that means everybody in the United Kingdom loves Only Fools and Horses.
How many people are there in the United Kingdom?
In the United Kingdom, there are 24.3 million people.
So that means absolutely everybody in the country watched it.
Including babies and the mentally ill.
And... pensioners who can't, well, who are geriatric.
Blind people, people who can't hear, everybody, every single human being in the United Kingdom watched that episode of Only Fools and Horses and they all liked it.
That's quite incredible, isn't it? So clearly everybody likes Only Fools and Horses.
Everybody likes Only Fools and Horses. You name me one person who doesn't like Only Fools and Horses.
I'm struggling. I can't think of a single
song.
There we go.
So that then is a good reason for us to talk about it today.
Absolutely. I'm not against that. Were you more a fan of the Grandad era, or did you prefer Buster Merrifield?
To be honest, I'm not. I don't know. I'm not. I don't think. I don't need to pick sides. There's classics from both eras, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I kind of sway more towards the earlier era.
Area.
The earlier area, because I'm a purist. I'm an Only Fools purist.
Really? So, to you, the only episode you like ran from 1981 to 1984, when sadly Leonard Pierce died at the age of 69.
Well, I was more into the idea of Rodney and his wacky backy when he was a crazy teenager. And like I've said before in previous podcasts, when he met Cassandra, it all started to go tits up as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think it did, though, to be honest with you. I think there's been some absolutely cracking episodes of Only Fools and Horses since then. That was the whole thing when Del turned into a yuppie, and some of those episodes were bloody brilliant. Can you hear that siren?
No, I can't, no.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Can you hear drills this end?
Drills? What? They're still trying to kill that dog?
They're still drilling the dog, yeah.
Fucking hell. That's one sturdy dog.
Yes, fine beast. No, obviously there were good episodes. And,
they were.
But I preferred it when Rodney was walking around in his camo jacket, you know, hanging out in the laundry chute. Remember that one?
With Mickey Pierce.
Mickey Pierce, who, as we've discussed before, is actually a cadaver now.
He is a cadaver. He is a very rangy... old man. He's played by a man called Patrick Murray, apparently, who I think died in early 2002.
Is he dead?
No, he's not dead, because nobody bothered telling him. You see, so when he came back to do these new episodes, he was technically dead.
So he's a zombie, right?
He is a zombie, yes, Mickey Pierce. Do you want some Only Fools and Horses facts?
I was going to ask you your favourite character, then we can do the facts. How's
well,
that?
We could do fact. We could get the facts out of the way first, then do our characters.
Let's do facts. Go
on. Okay, let's do facts. Right, written by John Sullivan, of course, who you've already mentioned, yeah. Who was the writer of Citizen Smith. Do you remember that?
It was a favourite in my household as a youngster.
Well, you're all lefties, weren't you?
Well, precisely. We kind of admired him.
Right, well, yeah. Power to the people! Do you know any Citizen Smith facts?
It's got Nana Moon in it.
It's got Nana Moon in it, and I think, as I mentioned before, his dad was originally played by Grouty from Porridge.
He was indeed.
However, he was replaced. Well, he wasn't replaced. I think the actor left. So, anyway, yeah, he finished Citizen Smith in 1980. The BBC foolishly didn't commission any more of them. The idiots. Which, I mean, if they had done, the whole history of television might have been different.
Well, we wouldn't have My Family, because Robert Lindsay would have, he'd still be playing Foxy or Wolfie.
Exactly, or, well, yeah, already done GBH later, and then probably gone on and done something else, and would have missed the meeting where they proposed My Family.
Yeah, so he'd be a less wealthy, but a much more respected man.
Well, it's the nature of time, isn't it? I mean, they say if you time-travelled, you'd fuck anything up purely and simply by talking to somebody. You know that theory, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because say you go back in time and you talk to a chap. Well, that chap shouldn't have been talking to you. He should have been getting on the bus and then meeting his sweetheart. They get married. They have a kid. The kid has grandkids, etc., etc., etc. But by you stopping that bloke, he's missed his bus. He's missed his sweetheart. They never get married. They never have kids. That kid never has kids. What you've done is you've committed a holocaust on somebody's family by time travelling.
Yeah, it's the space-time continuum. I often get quite worried about Arsenal matches because I think, particularly from living quite close to the ground, if I interact with someone in the street, they might then go on to affect someone at the Arsenal camp, and then that might affect the performance on the pitch. So that's basically why I stay home all the time.
Right. Well, I mean, what you need to remember is it never ends. So if you lose this time, don't worry, because it's not going to stop.
What, the football?
No. Never.
That's the beauty of it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So all your weird superstitions and stuff, they don't really mean anything or matter.
Right, okay.
Yeah? So are you going to go outside now?
I might do, but I'm a bit scared. Facts. Right.
Facts. Right, anyway, yeah, so he came to the BBC with an idea for a football comedy, of all things. But obviously they thought, no, that's bound to be shit. Do you remember, Sky One did a drama which was centred around Premiership footballers?
What, footballers' wives?
No, not footballers' wives. It was actually a team of Premiership footballers. And they had proper footy footage and stuff. And I can't remember what it was called. But anyway, that was football-based. Anything football-based that isn't actual football is bound to be rubbish.
Yeah, it's never going to work.
No, because there's just not the passion there. So anybody thinking about writing a drama or anything about football, don't bother. It doesn't work.
It's beyond parody, though. That's the problem, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. The only football-related thing I've ever seen that I actually liked starred him off of Home to Roost, where he was a policeman who turned into a football hooligan.
Oh, ID.
Yeah, that was all right, that.
Yeah, it's quite a well-acted film. It's slightly ridiculous, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah, but it's got him off of Home to Roost in it.
Hello, I'm Unpleasant African Dictator Idi Amin. I'm just here to say, this is the What's With Mothers new podcast. They're great. Now I'm off to eat somebody's head. Goodbye.
We overran a bit there, probably my fault. Give us some more facts.
Right, some more facts. Anyway, he went to the BBC, like I say. His football comedy was rejected. So instead he had this other idea, which was for a market trader, a Cockney market trader. And they were intrigued and said, all right then, and Only Fools and Horses was born. 1981.
Little did they know how successful that would be.
I know, and yet, weirdly, I mean, the series ran from 1981 to 1991, and yet there were only 7 series of Only Fools and Horses made.
Right, so 7 in 10 years.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, again, where I think they must have made at least a million billion series.
You had your Christmas specials as well, though.
You did, but you only had Christmas specials in 1991, 1992, 1993, 1996 and 2001.
Right, so you did, yeah, you do get the feeling there's more than there actually is.
You do. I mean, whether it's because you keep seeing the same episodes over and over again on UK Gold, or Gold, as they now call it, I don't know, but it just seems... I mean, so I always find it a strange fact that they only made 12 episodes of Porridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, because to me, it seems like they've made at least 48 episodes of Porridge.
Well, that could be because they're all quite similar, you know, by their own nature.
I'm not getting out of here, Fletch!
Was he your favourite, was he?
I liked him, yeah. I'm not getting out of here, Fletch! I'll be in here till I die, Fletch!
I'm a big fan of Biggins was good, innit?
Biggins was good. You had Jason. Yet again, Jason crops up, rears his ugly head.
He's in an episode that was always shown. He was the one who... He got away, didn't he?
He was an old man, and he was about to be paroled, and he wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, but he chuckled at the end of his episode.
Did he have a bird? Or am I thinking of the Shawshank Redemption, where he hangs himself? He didn't hang himself, did he, David Jason?
No, that wouldn't really be in keeping with the tone of your porridge.
Not very light-hearted. Anyway, Only Fools and Horses. So, like yes. I say, ran for 7 years. Seven series. And then it broke up into Christmas specials. The final set of Christmas... Well, what we were told with the final set of Christmas specials occurred in 1996, where they ended up being millionaires. Because, of course, his catchphrase was always...
You dipstick, Rodney.
No, neither was it you plonker, Rodney. It was this time next year...
Mons 2, Mons 2.
We'll be millionaires!
Right.
Right, yeah. So anyway, they ended up as millionaires, and everything was happy. They walk off into the sunset. Then, in the meantime, sadly, both Buster Merrifield and Kenneth MacDonald die. Do you remember Kenneth MacDonald?
No, which one was that?
Mike from the Nag's Head.
He's dead, is he?
Yeah, he died of a massive heart attack whilst on holiday in Hawaii in 2001 at the age of 50.
I hate that term, massive heart attack.
A massive heart attack.
It's like if you've been boozing too much. Dylan Thomas died of an insult to the brain.
An insult to the brain?
Yeah, that's what it's called if you booze so much that your brain can't handle it anymore.
Really?
So yeah, imagine if you died of an insult to the brain and that caused you to have a massive heart attack.
Think I'm peaked.
Move on.
Right. So anyway, yeah, in the meantime, those two died and then they brought it back for 3 episodes. And obviously, this is in 2001... And what happened? It wasn't very good.
Well, it jumped the shark, didn't it?
It did a bit.
Classic thing of, if the whole aim and purpose of the characters, if their ambition is to become millionaires, you don't make them millionaires, ever.
No, exactly. And if you do make them millionaires, that's the end of your series. Don't then come back. Because what Sullivan had to do was then have them come back as millionaires and then make them lose all of their money.
Nah.
No, didn't work. So anyway, yeah, those three sort of were broadcast. Everybody watched them. Nobody really liked them. And then that was the end of Only Fools and Horses. The end.
But it was voted, you were telling me, it was voted best sitcom or something?
It was indeed voted Britain's best sitcom in 2004 in a BBC poll. However, I think we should discuss that after the mid-amble, because I want to discuss who's your favourite character.
Oh, right, okay. My favourite character.
You buggered that up there.
Well, you said we were talking about that now.
What do you mean I said we were talking about? No, I didn't. I said we'll talk about the best sitcom bit after the bloody mid-amble. You said we'll talk about the characters after the facts. Yeah? This is on record, this.
So, underwhelming celebrity. Who is it this week?
No, we're not doing underwhelming celebrity yet. We're doing the who's your favourite bloody character in Only Fools and Horses. Who is it?
Well, I like Boycie very much.
Marlene!
I've got a soft spot for Denzel, but I think it's going to have to be Boycie.
Boycie? So, hang on, shall I do a bong?
Why?
Well, say Boycie.
And then you're going to smoke a bong?
No, I'll do a bong. Just say, right, my favourite character's Boycie. Say that.
My favourite character is the inimitable Boycie.
Bong. Boycie. There you go.
Who's your favourite character?
My favourite character is Trigger. Bong. Trigger.
Trigger.
There you go.
Trigger's a good choice, actually. He always has some cracking lines.
He certainly did. I mean, I like the way that he used to call Rodney Dave, yeah. which never got stale.
No, it never ever got stale, and it actually got funnier each time for some
reason. Well, yeah, I mean, well, I think my favourite instance of the Dave line was the episode where Rodney and Cassandra got married, and at the end they all go to Rodney and Cassandra, and the whole audience goes, Rodney and Cassandra, Dave.
Oh, God, super. Even laughing at the recounting of it. It must be good.
Oh, it was brilliant, mate. Yeah, so, I mean, I like the fact Trigger's an idiot, but he's got a heart of gold.
Well, what I liked about Boyce...
Boyce was brilliant.
Just the fact that he was clearly a massive success compared to the others, but he was almost rendered slightly impotent by the fact they were much funnier than him by the rest
of
the
gang. And he was actually impotent.
Yes, and that caused the character of Marlene to become more prominent, and I quite fancied her as a child.
Did you really? What, Sue Holderness?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have mentioned that, should I?
Well, I don't see why not. You know, who you fancy as a child bears no relation on who you fancy as a grown-up.
Very true. And they had that big dog Duke, didn't they?
Duke, yeah. And what was one of the funniest aspects of their relationship was that their child, what was his name?
Oh, I can't remember. Jake, maybe? Something like that?
No, he had an awful name. Something like Connor. Do you know what I mean? One of these names these idiots give their kids nowadays. Jordan. Storm. That sort of thing. Chardonnay.
Storm, you're thinking of gladiators, I think.
No, I actually met a mother whose child was called Storm.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was eyeing the departure gates, to be honest. Thought I might just go and live somewhere else.
So Boyce and Trigger are officially favourites.
Yes. I mean, obviously you've got your big guns. You've got your Del Boy. Who played him? David Jason. Your Lyndhurst, Rodders. Your granddad, Leonard Pearce.
In the
and
past,
of course, your Merrifield.
In the past, you've said, if anyone asks who's your favourite character, people always say one of the peripheral characters, when in fact Del Boy would be the favourite character.
Yeah, I mean, Del Boy is in fact my favourite character, but I thought we were doing characters.
Yeah, fair play.
Tyler!
Was that the name?
That's the name of the boy, Marlene and Boyce's boy.
That's quite close to Connor, you were close.
Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, so if your kid's called Tyler, you're a disgrace. You've ruined this country.
I knew a girl called Tyler.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did she have big tits?
I'm not at liberty to say.
I bet she had massive tits.
Welcome to the Watch with Mothers Mediable. Is that all right?
Welcome to the Midiamble, friends.
Again!
Regular listeners will be aware that we quite often lose whole segments thanks to Napoleon's laptop. It's happened again.
It has happened again. It's not a laptop, it's a desktop.
Desktop.
From the olden days.
So we've already done this, but we're happy to do it again for your ears.
I'm not!
And this segment is, this very Midiamble is going to incorporate the underwhelming celebrity encounter.
Works out so well last time that we're doing it again.
Yes, yeah, so this week I've selected one for you.
Right.
You're going to like this one.
Am I?
And we're also going to need to know if this is genuinely underwhelming, if it's a little bit too whelming, or if it's definitely overwhelming.
Overwhelming. Right, yeah. Okay. Fire it at me for the second time.
This is from Hemmerfrew, who we've established. I've actually got his real name here, but I think we decided not to broadcast him.
Right, I sort of thought it might be John Lennon, but perhaps the ghost of John Lennon.
Well, he could be. He might have changed his name.
He's come back. All right, my name's John Lennon. What are you joking at you? What's he doing? That's a shit impression of John Lennon, that. Can you do a decent impression of John Lennon?
We've tried this before. I'll try and do it in a John Lennon voice.
Okay, do it in a John Lennon voice.
Okay, this is what the ghost of John Lennon, Hemmerfrew, this is his underwhelming encounter. Right. I once saw Brian Dowling prattling about in the late night streets of Soho just after he won Big Brother. Does that sound like Lennon?
Yeah, well, it's a cross between Lennon and Ringo.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was showing
Ringo?
Off the Ringo lingo.
Right.
He was showing off to his friends and attempted to leapfrog a bollard, but unfortunately misjudged it, resulting in a pair of clocked PB-winning bollocks. Dowling rolled around on the floor, clutching his crotch as an eager crowd of jeering onlookers gathered, then got up and scuttled away as fast as his bruised nuts would allow. And that is one of my many pathetic, lame claim to fames.
Hey, that's hey. Brilliant, that.
Well, it's Brian Dowling, who I imagine would have turned violent straight off.
Imagine, yeah, he would have got his cannons out, he immediately got the guns out, especially if anybody laughed at him, instantly. Yeah. He'd gone over that bollard, yeah, feck me feckin' bollocks, like that, landed on the floor, you'd have been there, perhaps. Look at that, look. Oh, they, what you, what the feck are you feckin' laughing at, you feckin' feckin'? And then the next thing you know, he's unleashed them. He snapped your neck, mate.
Using his cannons.
Using his cannons, his guns. Well, he lets his fist do the talking, you Dowling.
Yeah, but he also does talk, and when he talks, it's like an Irish rain of fire.
It is, yeah, exactly. It's like the wrath of God in Irish form.
Oh, me feckin' bollocks.
Yeah, like that.
So, Brian Dowling, is he whelming?
I don't find him whelming, no. I do find him.
If I saw him in the street, whether his bollocks had just been,
His feckin' bollocks.
Whether he'd stuck a bollard up his bollocks. Stick it up your bollocks.
Stick it up your bollocks, you feckin' fecker.
Wasn't that Roy Keane said that? Stick it up your bollocks.
Did he say that?
He said that to Mick McCarthy, yeah.
Oh, no, Mick McCarthy.
Mick McCarthy.
Mick McCarthy.
Hey, right, we don't want you playing them, are you being a bad influence?
Oh, stick it up your bollocks.
Stick it up your fucking bollocks.
What happened there, then?
I'm very sorry about that. I had a chap come round. I've been waiting since October for a fella to come round to fix me window. We did have a fella come round, and he said it was the handle that had broken, so I thought, oh, well, fair news, and finally somebody came round today, and he spent about half an hour fiddling with it while singing Simply Red songs, and pronounced it was broken, and there was bugger all he could do about it.
Well, I wouldn't have let him carry on if he was singing Simply Red songs.
He was singing Stars, do you remember that?
Well, I am gonna fall from the stars
straight into your arms. That one.
No, you're not. No, you're not, Mick.
No, you're not, Mick. No, thanks, Mick. I mean, I don't. Do you like any Simply Red songs?
Oh, something got me started.
I don't know how that goes, but that's not too bad. And what about no, that's the same one.
No, it goes like this. Something got me started, and now I'm holding back the years.
Holding back the years. I keep holding on. Yeah, actually, that was in Only Fools and Horses at the end when Rodney got married.
It all comes together. And also, speaking of Mick Hucknall, we were talking about
Mick McCarthy.
I would have loved to have been at the argument at the Ireland training camp, where that all went down.
Where he had an argument with Roy Keane, who's never been one of the most even-tempered of gentlemen.
No, I've got a grudging admiration for him post-football career. Obviously, he was a violent idiot during his football
career. Of course.
But, I do like the way he says what's on his mind. And apparently, he told
Mick.
The training facilities were a joke, the whole team were a joke, he picked the wrong squad, and he wanted to go home. Mick McCarthy said, right, everyone, don't talk to Roy, he's being a twat. And Roy said,
stick it up your bollocks.
Stick it up your bollocks. Beautiful. Which has to be one of the best insults I think I've ever heard.
Impossible, isn't it? It's impossible to do.
Well, how can you stick it up your bollocks? Well, unless you'd made some kind of preemptive... I don't really want to think about this.
No, it's violent and medical and surgery basis.
Yeah. Anyway, sticking up your bollocks.
What were we doing before that?
Well, we were doing a midi-amble. We still have to pronounce judgment on Hemmerfrew's celebrities, whether it was whelming or overwhelming. What do you think?
To my mind, it inhabits the grey area between underwhelming and whelming because, let me justify that,
okay.
He would, if I saw him in the street, I'd think, there is Brian Dowling who won Big Brother one year, the second year. And that means, technically, he's whelming. But...
Yeah, but is he? Because I don't think he is whelming. I think he's underwhelming.
Well, his glory has faded, and he's basically fallen from the spotlight, so I guess he's ebbing towards underwhelming.
Right. So, I mean, I would agree. I think he's underwhelming. So, well done, Hemmerfru. That's a bong! Well, no, underwhelming!
Yeah, right, we should probably get back to Only Fools.
Well, I have, in fact, got a song before we do that. Would you like to hear that?
Yes, let's get that over with.
Okay, right, well, here we go. If you'd like to be quiet, please.
What was that?
What?
What'd you say?
Can you be quiet? Right, here we go. I'm going to do it in a Scotch accent, I've suddenly decided. You don't mind that, do you?
I don't mind, but try not to wobble your head so much.
Right,
please.
Okay, right. They can't hear this. So, here we go. I never will forget how you betrayed me, Juliet. You put sugar in my tea. I only like that in coffee. Judas, I'll not forget how you betrayed me, Juliet. You didn't even think before you put that in my drink. You traitor, Juliet. It's with the greatest of regrets. I no longer want you, do you see? You put sugar in my tea. It's a bit of that, isn't it?
Very good, right.
Was that heartfelt?
Well, I don't know. Seeing as you did it in an accent that's not your own, it can't really be heartfelt.
Did you feel it in your arse? In your arsehole?
In my arsehole?
Yeah, pain. Did you feel a bitter pang of regret coming off of your arsehole?
Well, yeah, but that was there before.
I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my anus. I'd rather be eating greedy than watch with mothers. But I've got this diarrhea, it really needs eating.
So, listeners, I've no idea where we are in the recording because builders have come in. We've lost two segments of the podcast already. Are we halfway through the midi amble?
No, we're not. We're past the midi amble. We're now again doing the bit about how Only Fools and Horses won the Britain's Best Sitcom in 2004, as voted for by the viewers of the BBC,
who we decided are idiots.
Yeah, we have decided they're idiots because at number three in their chart, they voted for The Vicar of Dibley, which is one of the worst sitcoms ever made.
Yeah, is it worse than Love Thy Neighbour?
Yes, it is worse than that. It's worse than Please, Sir.
Right.
It's worse than On the Buses.
True.
It's worse than... What's a really, really bad sitcom? May to December, it's worse than that. It's worse than Up the Garden Path. Do you remember that with Imelda Staunton and her off of Fawlty Towers?
Vera Drake?
Not Vera Drake. Oh, no, Imelda Staunton did play Vera Drake, didn't she?
So Vera Drake and Sybil Fawlty?
No, not Sybil Fawlty. Oh, hang on a minute. Was she... No.
Connie Booth?
No, the one that wanted a better view out of a talky hotel window.
Oh, Joan, Mrs. Richards.
Yeah, was it Joan Sanderson or something like that?
They were on your head, Mrs. Richards.
Exactly. She was also in the hilarious, racist Everybody's a Foreigner programme.
Right.
Do you remember that, where a fella used to teach a night class of hilarious racial and European stereotypes?
Yeah, I do remember that, though it's best forgotten, really.
Well, exactly. She was, I think, she was in that thing, and I think she was in Please, Sir, wasn't she? With Derek Guiler.
Right, but going back to what we were talking about, which I can't remember what it was.
We were talking about how this Only Fools and Horses won Britain's Best Sitcom, and I don't agree with that.
No, I tell you what, tell us again the run-through of what came 1 to 10 in this supposed poll.
Would you like to make eh or noises when I'm doing this?
Yeah, give me a little pause after each one.
Okay, number one, Only Fools and Horses.
Mm.
Number two, Blackadder.
Ooh. Mm.
Number three, the Vicar of Dibley. Number four, your dad's army.
Oof.
Number five, Faulty Towers.
Honk.
Number six, Yes Minister / Yes Prime Minister. Number seven, Porridge. Number eight, Open All Hours.
Ooh.
Ooh. Number nine, The Good Life. And number 10, One Foot in the Grave. Well, I couldn't really figure out what those noises were supposed to mean. So what do you think of that list without using grunting noises?
I think that it's largely kind of respectable, but it certainly wouldn't fit the WWM mould of what is considered a great British sitcom.
I would not have Vicar of Dibley in there for a start.
No, that
I wouldn't have One Foot in the Grave at number 10.
Why not? Oh, that's alright, isn't it? One Foot in the Grave.
Because it's not as good as Father Ted.
How's the music go again?
One foot in the grave. They say I might as well face the truth that I am just too long in the tooth. My old knees have started to knock. I've got too many miles of the clock. So I'm creakly, setting my ways. See better days. Give me half a chance and I can still misbehave. One foot in the grave. One foot in the grave. Like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was nowhere near as good as Father Ted or loads of other things. I think Black Books is better than that.
Yeah.
Hyperdrive, obviously.
That was a good one.
Spaced. That was better.
You Must Be the Husband was good.
You Must Be the Husband with Tim Brooke Taylor, which I'll confess I didn't remember.
Just Good Friends is better
Just
than
Good
that.
Friends. The Two of Us with Rodney.
Me and My Girl.
Me and My Girl. Heidi High, of course, which is much better than Faulty Towers.
Oh,
Dr. Beeching, which was... Was Oh, Dr. Beeching as good as Yerangmalord, or was it not as good as?
Well, that depends. To a connoisseur like you or I, it's as good as.
Yeah, well, I'd agree, yeah. I mean, to me, the Ted Bovis triumvirate, as I like to call them, of Heidi High, Oh, Dr. Beeching and Yerangmalord, where Paul Shane effectively played Ted Bovis in all of them, they are on a par with each other, I think.
So you call it the Ted Bovis triumvirate, do you?
I do indeed, yes. I think they are three of the finest sitcoms ever made.
I call it the Ted Triptych.
The Ted Triptych, that's quite nice.
Mm.
Spike! Can you do an impression of Ted Bovis?
Yeah, I think you've just stolen my thunder, really. That's all I can do.
Spike! Well, yeah, I mean, but it gets the point across. Can you do Peggy Allerinshaw?
Ooh.
Oh, I've got to go, Ted. I've got to clean the chalets. I've got to clean showers, and then I might become a yellow coat, Ted. Oh, you see?
Yeah, I do see. Yeah.
Right. Can you do? Can you do what's his name off of Open All Hours?
Are we in the quiz bit now?
Can you do Artright? No, in a minute. Can you do Artright?
Oh, it's been a funny day.
Well, yeah, but that's really not what he's known for, is it?
Granville.
Go and fetch your cloth. And then go and get me some... Get me some...
Oh, that flaming till.
Get me some... Give me some... Double barrel bog rolls. Granville.
Very good. Are we just doing impressions now, are we?
Yeah, sorry about that. I got distracted. Essentially, he had a speech impediment.
Yeah, that was what was so amusing, wasn't it?
It was quite amusing. I enjoyed that. Anyway, this isn't working. See ya.
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
And so, I believe you've got something planned for this next segment.
I have, yeah. After, I think we can safely say that we have drained every last drag and drop from the bell end of Only Fools and Horses, apart from a quiz.
Right.
Which we're going to do now. So if you were hoping to get more in-depth information about Only Fools and Horses, may I suggest you either buy a book on it or look on the internet?
Yeah, you're definitely... That's a richer source for information.
You've come to the wrong place if you think you're now full of Only Fools and Horses knowledge. Anyway, I'd better explain before we start that I actually wrote three quizzes and I dropped all my cards on the floor and I've mixed them up a bit. So this is an Only Fools and Horses quiz. However, there may be some EastEnders or on the buses creeping in by accident because I didn't have time to sort them out because we had a builder here.
Well, that's right? Not fair. That's not fair.
Right. So shall we get on with it?
Right, yeah, go on, but it's not fair.
Right, well, whatever, Clive. Sorry, we're not doing that, are we?
No, it's not a recreation. We don't need to.
All right, then. Right, so your first question. Yeah, are you ready for this?
Yeah, as I'll ever be, yeah.
Right, question one. What's Del's aspirational catchphrase?
One day, Rodney, we'll be millionaires.
You see, I'm sorry, but it's, I'll get you, butler. Yeah, you didn't get that right, I'm afraid. Right, question two. What was Blakey's nickname in the show?
Was it Trigger?
Oh, it was Dave. It was Dave. Do you remember how I used to always call him Dave?
Just two questions. How many questions are there?
There's 10 questions.
Okay.
Right, question three. Who's the landlord of the Nag's Head?
Is it Peggy Mitchell?
Oh, it's Eddie Royal. Oh, you were close.
That's not even a mix-up between the three shows. It's also gone back in time.
It's Eddie Royal from the EastEnders.
Right.
Question four. What was Tony Hill's boyfriend called?
Was he called Mickey?
Oh, it's Denzel the lorry driver. You didn't get that right, I'm afraid. Right, question five. The 1971 film of On the Buses was that year's top box office film, beating Diamonds Are Forever to the number one spot. What were the names of its sequels?
Sequels?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Pass.
Oh, it was The Green, Green Grass and Rock and Chips. So I'm afraid you got that wrong there. You see?
Yeah, I can see where I went wrong, yeah.
Right, now then, question six. Who took over the old man role when Leonard Pierce died in 1984? It's an easy one, this.
Buster Merrifield.
No, it's Frank Butcher.
A fictional character?
Yeah, Frank Butcher.
Okay.
There's no point arguing with it. This is what it says here.
Right.
Right. The filthy conductor Jack loved the birds. However, in real life, Bob Grant, the actor what played him, wasn't a hit with the ladies because he had a flaccid cock made off of Play-Doh after his proper cock was shot off by the Germans during World War II. What did the ladies call his cock?
Is that true?
Yes. What did the ladies call his cock?
Did they call it... a root master? The root master?
Oh, they called it Little Willie, who sadly died in 1991.
Right, I see what you've done there. It's very clever. Yeah.
Little Willie! Oh, me Little Willie! Do you remember that?
Yeah, she didn't call it My Little Willie.
Oh, anybody seen me Little Willie?
She called it My Willie.
Oh, Dot, have you seen my Little Willie?
Right.
Right, question eight. What was the name of Boycie's wife? It's an easy one, this one.
Right, well, this isn't my answer, but it's Marlene. But my actual answer is Bianca Jackson.
Oh, it was Olive, who was his sister in the show. Sorry about that, you got that wrong.
Right.
Are you there?
Yes, still here, Justin.
Right, question nine. Who is the landlord of the Queen Vic?
Is it Mike?
From the Nag's Head? Yeah, you got it right. Hang on. Yay, that's a tick. You see?
Yay.
You see, you're now getting the hang of this, that you've got to try and think. Remember that the cards have been mixed up. So, yeah. Question 10, the final question. Where does poo come off of a dog?
Is it off of its anus?
Off of its anus, hey! Well, you pulled it back there at the end. You got 2 out of 10.
Why are you trying to prize a quiz format into a podcast that's not even about a quiz show?
Well, what do you mean? We did a big quiz last year.
Did we?
We did. We did a big Christmas quiz. Do you not remember?
Oh, you say last year. It was only a month ago.
Well, yeah, that was last year. What are you still calling this year last year? Do you still think it's 2009?
No, I don't think that.
You do. You've just done that. You've just thought it's 2009.
Well, what year is it then?
It's 2010. Do you feel like Doctor Who? Right, well, that's the end of it. We've only got 2 orders of business left, haven't we, for today?
Have we?
We have, yeah. The first one is, how do you spell...
The sound that you just made, how do you spell it?
Yeah, how do you say it? If you were to write it down, how would you spell it?
Raspberry. Raspberry, like
a raspberry,
fruit.
Yeah. A real Bronx cheer.
So you mean phonetically, how you would spell that?
Yeah, how would you spell...
Well, it starts with BL.
BL, right. Wait a minute, is that a bit? That bit there.
And then, I suppose, oimp, because it goes up in cadence.
Yeah, hang on.
Bloimp.
Is that right?
Bloimp.
Bloimp. So enter.
Bloimp.
Wait a minute. Bloimp.
Technically it's bloimp.
Right, so you'd have to say it the same way there. It'd have to be bloimp. Yeah, that's about right, isn't it?
Well, what would you say it was before I mentioned that?
Well, I think you're right on the bloimp on that one, but what about this one? What's that?
That's more of a sort of blur.
I think that is PL, 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 PL. You see?
That just spells plup, 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 plup.
It does indeed, but if you say that really quickly, get your game face on, say that really quickly, see what happens.
Okay.
Eureka! You see? You see, it works.
Well, that's genius. Is that solved?
That's that, yeah. So anybody out there who was wondering how they spell either... or now knows.
But how would you spell?
What, that? Like that?
No.
I can't do it. Wait a minute. What, like that?
No. I suppose that's a bloimp, isn't it, really?
That's more of a bloimp. Anyway, I think we've right. So we'll move on to the second order of business, which is Anton Rogers dead?
And the answer to that is yes, I'm afraid
to
say. Sorry about that.
Oh, right. Well, that's it from me then.
Right. We'll see you next week. Sorry for spoiling your day, Napoleon.
Well, that's all right. It was pretty much ruined anyway.
Right, well, we'll be back next week with another podcast. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye. It's with mothers.